Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor 60, Samach. Lamenatzeach al Shushan Edut Nichtam LeDavid LeLamed. Behatzoto et Aram Naraim et Aram Tzova v'Yashov Yoav v'Yach et Edom Bagai Melach 12,000. To the chief musician, according to Shushan Edut, a Nichtam of David, to teach. When he strove with Aram Naraim and with Aram Toba, when Yoav returned and struck 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. The titles only seem to be getting more mysterious and more elaborate. This time, a two-verse title offering both new descriptions of the psalm, Shushan Edut, also an additional explanation of the purpose of the psalm, Lilamed, to teach, and finally a detailed historical context. When he fought with Aram Naraim and Aram Tzova and Yov returned and killed 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Shushan Edut is an unknown term, as we have come to expect from titles. The typical suggestions are offered, a type of song, some type of testimonial, a type of musical instrument, a metaphor. Lilamed is new, and commentators note that perhaps in speaking of the gravity of war with all the casualties, the song was meant to be a lesson for Israel to realize the complexity and tragedy of even victories. Both Sefer Shmuel, second book of Samuel 8, chapter verse 13, or Divrei HaYamim, first book of Chronicles, chapter 18, verse 12, give accountings of great battles and great victories of the kingdom of Edom in the Valley of Salt. There, the number is 18,000, and the commentaries explain the discrepancy in different ways. Also, one time it mentions David as leading the battle, and another time Abishai. Either way, the battle exploits of David and his army are documented in various biblical narratives. What is not recorded, however, are the lessons learned, the pain of war, the feelings of despair, shock at being surprise attacked, the loss, the victory despite the sacrifice, the gratitude to God, geopolitical lessons of the battlefield and the constant appreciation that any successes came directly from God. Perhaps that is the impetus for this psalm. Elohim, znachtanu, pratstanu, anafta, tishodev lanu. Hirashta, eretz, patsamta, rafa, shvarea, kimata. Hirita, amcha, kasha, hishkitanu, yain, tarila, natata, lireacha, netz, Litnoses lipnei koshet sela. O God, you have cast us off. You have scattered us. You have been angry. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken it, its heel its breaches for its totters. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of staggering. You have left only a banner to those who fear you due to the arrows of the enemy sela. Aram Naharaim is Mesopotamia, modern-day Turkey, Syria, Iraq. It's a river that runs through the Euphrates. In classic rabbinical literature, it's the place that Abraham came from and Yaakov ran to, the house of Laban. Some commentators note that the title Edut, reminding us of the covenant shared between Yaakov and Laban, that they would no longer harm each other, and the word aid was used there to solidify the treaty. The Midrash homiletically has the inhabitants of Aram claiming that Yoav's war was unjust due to a violation of the treaty. But David responds that those Aramites had long disappeared and were replaced with new ones, thus the treaty was voided. Aram Tzova is modern-day Syria, and Tanakh describes David's battle there in 2 Samuel, chapter 8, verse 3, calling it Aram Damesek, where he killed 22,000 and took control of that area. Despite the victories, the tone of the beginning of the psalm is one of desperation and loss. Perhaps the horror-stricken beginnings of war. Znachtanu, pratstanu, anafta. God, speaking directly to God, you've cast us off, you've scattered us, you've been angry with us. The psalmist describes the initial moments of seeming defeat and screams out to God for salvation. Continues in verse 4 to 6, describing God's seeming harsh attitudes towards his nation and leaving them decimated before their enemies, giving them the impression that all is lost, and that all left from that battle was a semblance of their flag flailing in the wind because of the enemy's arrows. There's only one version of the division of the psalm in that verse 6. This is only one version of the division of the psalm in that verse 6 is part of the description of defeat. Amos Chacham employs it and says it's based on the translation from another scholar named Tur Sinai. I assume he prefers it because the flow of the verses with 4 and 5 beginning with the verb in the past, rashta, hirita, natata, you caused, you showed, you left. Verse 7 seems to begin a new stage in the psalm, a prayer and confidence in God's victory. Many other commentaries see this turning point actually in verse 6 and translate the words natata li reyecha nes, you have given a banner to your faithful, in a positive, miraculous way. As such, the verse should read, but you will give your fearful a banner to raise because of your truth, Selah. This is diametrically opposed to our initial translation. This is the position of virtually all Rishonim, Midravim, Rabbinic commentaries, such as Rashi, Ibn Ezra, Radak, Sforno, Malbim, and others. It's hard to reject the virtually unanimous traditional commentaries, and yet, which way does the psalm read easier? I leave that up to you. Verse 7, Leman yechaltzun yididecha hoshia yimincha v'aneni, that your beloved ones may be saved, save with your right hand and answer me. This traditional verse seems to support our first reading of the psalm, with the author turning to God and asking for salvation, answer me. This verse is adapted by the liturgy in Ashkenaz to be appended to the final meditative paragraph of Shemona Esrei, the silent Amida, called Elohai Nitzor. It is based on a prayer of Mar, the son of Ravina, who added his own prayer after Tfilah using the words Elohai Nitzor Shani Maraz Satay Midera Lamakalen Hashit Domay Nashikla Kapar Lachotiyeh. Interestingly, Mar doesn't include this verse in his prayer, and nor does Rav Amram Gon, the oldest sitter we have from the 9th century. It's not in Sadia Gon's sitter from the 10th century, in Rashi's sitter from the 11th century, or in the Machzor Vitri. We do, however, find it in the words of the Torah, an early 14th century halacha compendium by Rabbi Jacob ben Asher. How did it get there? That's beyond the scope of our discussion today. Verse 8. Elohim diber bekotcho e'eloza echalka shechem ve'enek sukot endod. Li gilad v'li minashev Ephraim ma'oz roshi Yehuda mechokiki. Moav sir rachzi al edom ashlich na'ali alai pleshet hitro a'i. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure the valley of Sukkot. Gilad is mine. Menashe is mine. Ephraim is the strength of my head. Yehuda is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. Over Edom, I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia, I shout in triumph. Painting a picture of a map of God's land. This section begins with the same word, Elohim. We find at the beginning of the psalm, as if to say, that God who seemingly abandoned us, is the same God who had promised us victory, dividing Shechem and Sukkot. To him belong Gilad and Menashe, and Moab as well as Edom and Philistia. God's words here are responding to the last word of the previous verse. Aneni, answer me. God's answer with his holy words is, or should be, that all of Israel belongs to him, as well as the rest of the world. Therefore, the psalmist presents God's words as he hopes they would be in response to his cries. The final section of the psalm brings the psalmist's final prayer based on all he has said and presented before God. He now shouts out one last time for salvation. Mi yovileni ir matzor, mi necheni adado. Halo ata Elohim znachtanu, velo tetze Elohim bitzivotenu. Havalanu azrat mitzar v'shav tshuat adam, be'Elohim nasechayil. Who? Yavus, tzareinu. Who will bring me the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God, so that you do not go forth with our armies? Give us help against the enemy, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do bravely, for he it is who shall trample down our enemies. After taking us on a roller coaster of emotions, and perhaps taking God on one too, the psalmist has one final plea. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will help me conquer my enemies? He then employs the message from the beginning of the psalm in which he claimed that God abandoned his people, turning to God saying, indeed, do you abandon us? And will you not lead us into battle with our armies? Bring us succor against our enemies so that we do not have to rely on the salvation of human beings. Malbim and other and others read the verse as an understanding on the part of the psalmist of God's plan throughout. It is now revealed to us that your having rejected us at the beginning was only for our own good, since that just paved the way for you to truly help us against our enemies at this final stage. You have made us see that without God, our efforts are futile. Our own power is useless without you. Thus ends the psalm, a complicated and convoluted message which seems to counter to intuitive to its title. A victory over Aram with thousands killed seemed like a time of joy and revelry, Instead, the message to teach is that war is hell, and that we should never get comfortable in thinking that our might and power have wrought this victory. Instead, God makes it so that we are reminded to call out to him when things look too easy. He makes us suffer and call out in desperation. Only then we include God in our plans. Only when we include God in our plans are we able to look back on this battle and understand his hand in our victory.